Doctor's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. And check out Dr. Oz and Dr. Roizen's website, youbeauty.com. Here are Joe Galewski, Dr. Deb Lonser, and of course, Dr. Michael Roizen, M.D.
Well, Dr. Gary Ginsberg steps up to the plate at this time. He's not with us this week. Dr. G will be back next week on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We'll occupy your time between now and Straight Talk from the Docs at 34 past the hour with more of the top medical news stories of the week from Dr. Mike and Dr. Deb. Mike, three small warnings that can signal big brain problems. What can you tell us?
Well, the three are pretty common and interesting because I would have never guessed the first one is such a problem. But you can't find your keys and everyone else can. You know, I often get lost. I often can't find my keys. Now I have to put them in the same pocket of my coat all the time so I find them. But in fact, not finding your keys compared or not remembering where you parked your car compared to everyone else your age is a problem.
Wow.
The second is you have numbness on one side or the other, a memory loss, difficulty walking, or in fact fine movements in your hand for just a short period of time. That's what we call reversible ischemic neurologic disease, or TIA. It often prefaces a real stroke. Transient ischemic attack or a reversible ischemic neurologic disease. You numb on one side of your body or the other. You have a little problems with clumsiness with your hand or memory loss. See a doc. Not tomorrow, not 5 days from now, but today. And you get weird headaches. That is severe headaches. When you're not expecting them, get yourself to a hospital. Don't just take aspirin. So severe headaches, unusual headaches for you. Get yourself to a hospital. So those three signs, you can't find your keys and everyone else your age can. You feel numb one side or the other or clumsy or memory loss and you get weird headaches, unusual headaches for you.
It doesn't have to be necessarily keys. It can be eyeglass, right? That's mine. So if you can't find your keys, what in the brain do you have a deficiency
of? You know,
of?
If it's eyeglasses, I'm glad you said that, Joe, because I can never find mine.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you, I'm kind of glad you said that you had problems with yours. So since you and I are almost the same age, then I'm not feeling bad about not finding my glasses.
So what do you have a deficiency in, then, if that's the case?
Well, not finding your eyeglasses when everyone else can is probably not find theirs, not yours. Is probably a sign that you're losing your memory and it's going a little too fast.
Yeah, okay.
It can also be a sign that you got what we call memory overload. Do you know what the best thing for memory is?
No, go ahead, tell us.
It's vigorous exercise.
Yeah.
And the second best, ping pong or squash or racquetball, because your cerebellum and vigorous exercise both are good for increasing hippocampal size. Got to be done with some regularity. Speaking of ping pong, I lost again today.
Oh, too bad.
I remember the last time I came away with a triumph. I think 5-0. Well, today I went down 2-1.
Oh, well, there's another day.
I need more points. My opponent, don't you think my opponent should give me more?
You need a handicap, right? You get a handicap in golf, you get a handicap in bowling.
He asked for a 42-point handicap today.
There'll be another day. How many times have you ever seen parents in a car with the windows closed, smoking, and in the back of the car, there are the kids?
It makes me crazy. Can I just say that? If you've ever pulled up to a red light in the summertime and your window's open, you can smell the smoke from the car next to you. So imagine what it's like if you're in the car where the smoke is, where the cigarette's being smoked. So there are very few pediatricians, apparently, who are talking about this, and it's something that we need to get better at, because there needs to be a smoke-free car policy for anyone that has kids. If you smoke and you can't quit for yourself, you shouldn't smoke in the car. It doesn't matter if you have the window open or not. All of the upholstery holds that smoke in, and you're continuously smoking even when the cigarette is out. Only about a quarter of all families that have kids in them actually enforce the smoke-free policy in cars. So that means that if you wouldn't take a cigarette, light it, and stick it in your toddler's mouth, you shouldn't be smoking that cigarette in the car, because it's an enclosed area. Opening the window doesn't help. The direct smoke is coming from the front seat into the back seat with the ventilation in the car and with the window open if you have it open. It's really terrible to smoke in an enclosed area like that. So if you have to smoke, best thing to do is have smoke breaks. Get out of your car, smoke a cigarette, throw the cigarette away, not on the ground, but in a trash can. Get back in the car and make sure that the kids are never in the car, even when you're doing that, because you bring a little bit of third-hand smoke back into the car with you. And keep your ashtrays full of spare change or lifesavers.
I don't think there are ashtrays in cars anymore, are there?
Well, there are. There are in some cars, but they're... There are little spaces next to where you could have a cigarette lighter, and you can buy a cigarette lighter to put in there, but most people just plug their cell phones in, which is great.
It's just dumb to do that. I can't understand why would you want to kiss somebody who smokes, too, but
yeah,
I don't have to do that.
I don't either. That's one of the deal breakers.
You're right. For a lot of people, yeah. It is, and it should be. I think it's a good rule to play by. I think this is a top medical story of the week. We'll do this before we get to the bottom of the hour and straight talk from the docs. The headline is genetic variation may modify associations between low vitamin D levels and adverse health outcomes. Kind of a complicated headline. Straighten out for us, Dr. Mike.
What is personalized medicine is the question to this. Personalized medicine, you know, we always thought you were doing personalized medicine when you found out a person's family history and you individualized the drug to the person so they got the right dose, or you told them that because they had a family history of coronary artery disease, that the elevation of cholesterol was enough to treat them unless they got it under control, or changing what they do and figuring out how to motivate them. That was personalized. What motivates that person? What's the trigger? But in this case, personalized medicine has come to mean what to do for your DNA, and specifically what to do for your genetics. And I'm going to tell you it really pertains to DNA, not genetics. But in this case, the DNA, your genes, you produce different ways of metabolizing vitamin D. So a low level of vitamin D may trigger cancer in some people. Low levels of vitamin D may promote heart disease in others, or depression in others, whereas not in the majority. And there's an interaction of your blood levels of what you eat and what you consume, and even vitamins and minerals, and disease promotion. Now, why did I say so? Personalized medicine, it is, we're going to have to understand your genetics and your DNA. Why did I say DNA rather than genetics? Well, you have 22,000 genes. But it turns out 80% of the rest of your DNA, which is the majority of your DNA, is actually involved in turning your genes on and off, which means the way the genes function. So it may be possible 20 years or 10 years from now to be able to change which of your genes are on or off, and to be able to keep you healthy no matter what the genes you were born with. And that's the magic of what we expect personalized medicine to be in 10 years.
Now, I'm sure every vitamin is important in its own way, but do you think vitamin D is one of the more important vitamins in your life?
Yeah, vitamin D acts in a number of ways to turn on the proofreader gene so that you can proofread against cancers, to prevent heart disease in some weird ways, and we're learning that, and that's what this story is all about. Maybe I'll post it as a blog next week on, in fact, RadioMD.com's website, because it's such an interesting topic of what we're learning about vitamin D. But for you, just get your level measured and get it in the 50 to 80 range.
Okay, coming up, straight talk from the docs with Dr. Mike, Dr. Deb, Dr. Arthur Perry. And don't go away till you hear Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week for the second hour. That'll be coming up before the end of the second hour as well. Streaming at gabradio.com and Radio MD for a segment may have missed. You, the owner's Emmanuel Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. Thanks for listening.